What actually we're going to do is we're going to come back to the beginning of the parasha and focus a lot just on these words of Lech Lecha. But just a quick overview of the parasha, and then we'll come back to the beginning. We know that in big contrast to last week's parasha, there is not much we know about Avram. That while Noach is described as a great tzaddik, it is clear that while the rest of the world is being corrupt and moral and terrible, Avram is saved. I'm sorry, Noach is saved because he was a tzaddik. We don't really know much about Avram in the beginning. And in fact, a lot of the stories that we know as kids are obviously not in the Torah. So one of the major reasons, which is an important to understand, the connection between Noach and Lech Lecha. So the Maharal suggests the following. He says that we shouldn't think that the only reason we became the Jewish people was because Avram was so great. Because if that were the case, we would feel inadequate. Who are we? We're not Avram Avinu. And if we cannot live up to that great billing of being Avram, maybe we would feel less than. Something we're going to come back to a little bit later. So therefore, we hear nothing about Avram. We don't know that about the idols that he breaks. We don't know about the furnace that he jumps into. We don't know about any of that simply because the Maharal suggests we are chosen because of we are the Jewish people. Noach, as my cousin Menachem likes to explain, Noach was saved because of who he was. And Avram is chosen because of who he will be. He will be a great leader. He will have a nation. He will have a land. But it is not about the reward. We are not chosen as the Am Segula only because Avraham was so great. Right? And therefore, we know that the shift from Noach to Lech Lecha really goes about the Migdal Bavel, as we mentioned last week, was all about very selfish. It was Na'ase Lanu Shem. We're going to make our name great. We're going to be a great people. We're going to do great things. And Avram, yet is all about making the name of God great. But we're going to come back to a little bit later what goes on at the beginning of this parasha. What exactly is this Lech Lecha? What's the test? What's the challenge? What do we learn from it? But just to briefly go over, we know that obviously Avram is given a commandment. He has to leave. And that is one of the ten tests that he has to leave the land. He obviously gets to Mitzrayim, and we know there's a famine. Should he go? Should he not go? Whether or not the Machlokas and the commentators and the Rishonim, whether Avram's going down to Mitzrayim was actually a sin. God said, go to Eretz Canaan. He's in Eretz Canaan. God didn't say go to Egypt. But Avram, we know, is different than Noach in the sense of initiative. Avram never waits for God's go-ahead, right? When Sodom is going to be destroyed, Avram jumps in to argue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Lot is captured, Avram initiates a rescue mission without consulting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why we said Avram walks in front of God and Noach walks alongside God. Noach is always doing what he's told, which is very important. Noach is always v'chein asa, exactly what you commanded me, God. But Avram is a little bit more of the initiator. Avram is the one who finds God. Avram is the one who initiates the recapturing of Lot and saving him. So Avram decides he's going to go down to Mitzrayim. And there on the way down to Mitzrayim, of course, we know what happens, that he looks at Sarai, and as Rashi describes, for a number of reasons, he decides that they have to make this ruse, this little plan that Sarai is really his sister so that they won't kill him. We know that eventually, as we continue on a little bit further, we're going to really spend some time talking about the beginning of the parasha. But we know that, of course, in this week's parasha, in Perek Tesvav, is the Bris Bein Habisar. And here we have Achara Dvarim Ha'il, the Perek Tesvav, tells us that after all of this had happened, Ha'idvar Hashem al Avram, Machazel, Limor, Hashem appears to him in a vision, Al Tira Avram. Anochi Mogein Lach, I will protect you. That's Mogein Avraham. As we say in davening, Scharcha Harbei Mo'od. So what exactly is Avram worried about? Pasuk is very clear. Hashem says, Al Tira Avram. Perek Tesvav Pasuk Aleph. So what exactly? So it could be that he is nervous, some explain, as the maybe he has fear of dying without a child. It could be that Barbanel suggests he's worried that maybe he returned the spoils back was a bad idea. Maybe I should have kept the spoils. The Medrash, though, offers three ideas. The Medrash says, number one, he was morally nervous. He just, maybe in his battles, he killed a righteous man. That's number one. Number two is he's nervous. Did the effects of battle, shock my moral compass? I'm a good person. I'm Avram Avinu. I only do good. I do achmasas orchem all the time. I just went ahead and I waged war. I killed people. And maybe my moral compass is thrown off. So therefore Hashem says, don't worry. I'm going to recalibrate it. You're not going to worry at all. Same thing we find by Pinchas. And when Pinchas kills Zimri and Cusbi, the Pasuk says he gets the Brisi Shalom, the covenant of peace. Covenant of peace. You don't give a Nobel Peace Prize to a murderer. And the answer is that Pinchas was an Oev Shalom, a Rodev Shalom. He loved peace. He was a grandson of Aaron. And Hashem says, even though you just killed someone, I will make sure that morally you're not a murderer anymore. You won't feel that in your bones. But the last concern of the Medrash is a fascinating concern. The last concern of the Medrash is, oh my gosh, maybe I just withdrew all of the money that I have in my spiritual bank. Meaning, how do we view the good things we do in our lives? Right? So the one easy way to think about it is that every mitzvah that I do, so this morning, from this morning until tonight, I davened a few times and I said brachos and I learned some Torah and I said Asher Yatzah and I watched Tehillas Yadayim and I said something nice. Oh, whatever, go through your day. Go through your day. Sometimes I have my students go through their day and figure out how many mitzvahs they actually did that day. Right? So go through your day. You had X amount of mitzvahs. Right? Let's say it's 1,000 mitzvahs. Fine. And every day of the week, you did 7,000 mitzvahs over the last week. It's a lot of mitzvahs. And then you got sick, but you got better. There was, you needed a job and you got a job. Well, that's how much does that cost? Right? Well, how much do you take out of the bank for a job? That's like that. Maybe that could be a $5,000, you know? And, you needed help with one of your kids and you needed this person, needed a chesed. So before you knew it, you probably overdrafted. You overdrafted. And now you're going to get a letter from Citibank. Hey, Liebtag, you overdrafted again. Okay, pay your bill. So Avram is worried. One second, I was just saved. But maybe I used it all up. And Chama Leibowitz, in her description of this medrash, she describes the correlation we have between what we do, our maisim, our deeds, our actions, and the destiny that's meted out to us. And it's normal for us to look at it and say, I have a lot of good. Did I just use it all? Right? Why do the righteous suffer and the wicked prosper? Right? Tzadikim, Russia, Vitovlo, Tzadik, Viralo. So we tend, she writes, to overestimate the good that we do and to underestimate the good that we receive. So really what's happening is two things. Number one, we have to realize that God overgives us, that there's no way it could ever really exactly calibrate and work and balance the budget perfectly. But it also doesn't work like that because we have no idea the schar and the reward and how all of these things are measured and based on our circumstances. And the thing that Hashem tells Avram is, don't worry. You have so much in your spiritual bank. We don't look at it as a withdrawal, that every time I need something, I have to withdraw from the bank because there's no way to figure out that amount. And it should be like our antibodies. It should only grow more and more with time and never gets used up. And if you need, there's always booster shots. Okay, so that leads us sort of towards the end of the parsha. Then we have the Bris Min HaBesarim, which of course foreshadows the Golus that's going to happen in Mitzrayim. Well, there is a Pasuk in Perek Tezvav Pasuk Yugimel during the Bris Min HaBesarim. The Pasuk says, Vayomer LaAvram, Yadoa Teida Kiger Yezarecha Be'eretz Lolehem. You're going to be a stranger in a foreign land. Vavad Nevinu Yasan, they'll afflict you. This is the famous, this we know, it's going to happen. The Medrash says, Yadoa Teida means you should know in the sense of, you should know that because the only way for you to end up in Egypt is by the hand of God, you should know that if I sent you down, I will of course be able to bring you back up. So every time that throughout history, exile looks backwards and confusing, how could it be that Ben and Jerry's can ban ice cream in Israel and yet don't have an answer to their question? Those are the time that we look at the match and we say, yeah, when the world doesn't make sense, we know that if God is going to put us in this upside down world, we know that God is the only one that can take us out of this upside down world. That's Yadoa Teda. In fact, the Be'er Yosef, of Yosef of Salant, he says that, you know, that Paro has the three, the three advisors, Bilam, Eov, and Yisro. And they all go like counterintuitive to what they should have, this is for much later down the road, but they all act counterintuitive to what they actually should have said. And his point is, since they all acted like that, it's because the only way we could have ended up in Egypt is by God. Therefore, the only way we can come out of every exile is by the hand of God. Okay. But I do want to go back, because I think there's a lot to talk about just in the first few psukim in this week's parsha. So let's go back. The pasuk tells us, "Vayomer Hashem al Avram, Lech lecha me'aretzecha u'memoladetzecha me'beis avicha el ha'aretz asher arek." You have to go. So what exactly is the mission here? What's happening in this test? The simplest answer is, the test was he's got to leave. He was very comfortable. He had everything that he needed. Life seemed good. He had enough wealth and enough sheep and livestock. He clearly had a very comfortable life. Him and Sarah are affecting the masses. They're doing great works in Kirov. Everything seemed very good. So the test is, sometimes you have to move. Sometimes you have to push yourself to do more, even when it seemed at that moment that everything was fine. But the leaving itself was very difficult. You have to look at the next few psukim. Right away, if you didn't know, see, part of the problem we learn Chumash is that we're very, very smart people. And we have learned Chumash so many times. And every time we open Bereishis, as much as we want to add a Chidushim, we know how the story is going to go. But if you didn't know Chumash, and you opened up the Torah for the first time, and you meet these great figures, Adam, Noach, and then you meet Avram, and then the Psukim tell us very clearly, Hashem says, well, you are going to go, v'eschol goy gadol, I'll make you a great nation, I'll make your name great, and I'm going to give you land. It is clear, over and over and over again, the two things that we really are going to need are children and a land. And yet, if you read through the next few parashios, these are the two things that we can't ever get. Sarah cannot have a child. She's barren, right? We know that they have to figure out some way. And in fact, as we see a little bit later on in the parasha, if you don't have to have a chumash, but in Perek Yogimah Pasuk Tes Zayin, Hashem takes him outside and he tells him, "Samti zaracha kafara aretz." It's going to be like the dust. You're not going to be able to count it. It's very dramatic. But he doesn't have a child. He doesn't have a child. He has Eliezer, and he has Yishmael, and then he has Yitzchak, and Yamashach Yitzchak. It's not an easy life getting that the child that he needs to fulfill this legacy. And what about the land? The land of Israel. We don't get that. Avram barely gets it, right? So Yitzchak never leaves. Yaakov ends up in Egypt, and eventually, hundreds of years later, we get it, only to be kicked out, to come back in, explains Rabbi Sachs. The Avos do not live in fantasy world. They don't live in this magical world of the Bible in which what you ask for, you get right away. God says, I have a child, and before me are now 35 children. Unbelievable. And a land right away flowing of milk and honey, which I've done no work for. The Avos and the Imos live in real time. They have a journey of Lech Lecha. There is a mission to go to Israel, to establish the people, to do all of these great things. But along the way, our journey is fraught with ups and downs, with obstacles, with challenges, with a step forward and three steps backwards. And this is Emunah. Emunah, have faith in God, means, as Rabbi Sachs used to say often, that faith is not certainty. It's the courage to live with uncertainty. This is what's happening in our parasha. Lech Lecha is the journey of the Jewish people. You have a mission. It is a clear mission to go out, to serve God, to be with God, to influence the world, to do mitzvos. And to do that, you're going to have a great nation and a great land. Okay? And it takes time. And sometimes we have it, and then we go back, and we keep moving and moving forward. That's the major lesson we learn from this Lech Lecha. It is a Lech Lecha that is defined by Emunah. That is the greatest challenge. That I'm not going to just give you all of this in an instant. that it takes man's involvement and it takes all of that as a journey. Okay. So let's go on, though, to another aspect of Lech Lecha. When the Psukim say Lech Lecha, Rashi explains, La Nascha Vilatovas, it should be for your good. You got to go for yourself. Yes, I am sending you, but you have a mission here. You have a purpose to do. But explains the Sfas Emes. You know, earlier we asked, what makes Avram so great? Meaning Noach is an Ish Tzadik, Tamimaya Bedarosa. And Avram, we don't hear anything about. All of a sudden we hear from Avram, 75 years old, and he's being sent out of the land. So, says the Sfas Emes, maybe there isn't anything uniquely special about this moment in Avraham's life. Meaning, explains the Zohar, the greatness of Avraham was not that God only spoke to him, but that God spoke to everyone and only Avraham answered. There was a call that went out to all of mankind in every generation. Avraham's greatness was that he stopped to listen. He answered the call of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam explains that when a Navi got a prophecy, it wasn't a phone call. It was a radio signal. He had to be tuned in. So it wasn't that Hashem sent a direct line to the Navi. The Navi prepared himself. He had to get ready to receive this signal. That was Avram. He was listening. We, as this is why there's a little bit of Avram in all of us, which is why Lech Lecha is a reminder that we have to listen to the call of God. You know, the Gemara in Tainus tells a fascinating story about two great Amoraim, Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan. Right? Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan. So Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan decided they were learning Torah, but they needed to make some money. So they're going to go into business together. Right? So they say, all right, you know, not enough for this, but let's go make some money. So they set out on their journey and they stop and they sit down alongside a broken down wall. While they're sitting there eating bread, there's two angels that come and the angels say, let's get rid of these guys. Right? One angel said, let's topple the wall and kill them. Why? Because what they're doing, said these malachim, is that they're leaving Chaye, you know, Olam and going to Chaye Sha'a. They're leaving the world of Torah. And going into the world of, you know, Olam Hazeh. How could they do that? So the story goes that Rabbi Yochanan hears this conversation, but Ilfa does not. So Rabbi Yochanan says to himself, he says, if I heard this, he says, Amalei Rabbi Yochanan le'ilfa shama, did you hear what happened? He says, I didn't hear. So says Rabbi Yochanan, if I heard it, if I heard it, I have to go and I have to invest my life into Torah. He goes back to yeshiva. Ilfa does not. And by the time Ilfa came back from his business, you know, venture, Rabbi Yochanan crowned the head of the yeshiva. And realizing that Rabbi Yochanan had this, you know, had become greater than he was. So doesn't mean that he didn't hear it. Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan, those two Amorayim, we're sitting on the same broken down wall, on the same bench, eating the same bread. What does it mean that only Rabbi Yochanan heard the story and Ilfa didn't? Ilfa didn't have good hearing. He's got to go for a hearing test. He's got to raise his hand when he hears the thing. No, it means that Rabbi Yochanan was tuned in. It could mean that the Gemara is telling us that as they decided to focus on their business venture, Ilfa was all in. He could only hear the business ideas. Rabbi Yochanan had a foot still in the world of Torah. And he heard the message of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who knows more. It's who can answer the call of God. Who can, you know, who can put a little bit more time? Who, when God is speaking to him in a Shemona Esrei, in a davening, can answer that call and say, I hear it. I'm going to put more time into Torah, more time into tefillah. It's about answering a call that is being broadcast all the time. We just have to listen to that call. So that's what it means, Lech Lecha. It means that there is a call from God going out all the time. Are we tuned in to hear it? But along these lines, there is a wild medrash. The Avram is told Lech Lecha. But there is another time that he's told Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha al Eretz HaMoria. Right? Go. Now that's from the Akedah. says the Medrash, which one of these Lech Lechas is greater? Which one is greater? Is it greater to say Lech Lecha me'aretz lecha me'ladetz lecha me'beis avicha? Or is it greater Lech Lecha el'aretz ha'moria? If you were to ask 10 Jews off the street, which one is greater? 10 out of 10 are going with the Akedah. There is no other test in the next week's parsha like the Akedah. The idea that the world was worshiping Avodah Zarah and killing their children for Avodah Zarah. And Avram is promised one child. And that one child that he finally has is being told to shecht it. And he's actually going to do it. That is the craziest, most ridiculous, unheard of. You know, why do we call it the test of Avram? Why do we call it Akedas Yitzchak? We can't relate to what Avram had to do. Yitzchak, we can relate to dying on Kiddush Hashem. Who can relate to what Avram had to do? That's otherworldly. So says the Medrash, which one is greater? I don't understand the question. And the answer is, it depends on how we view our challenges. The Nesivos Shalom shares a profound idea. He says, how do we view our lives and the challenges we face? Meaning, Avram, there's different kinds of challenges in our life, right? Sometimes you have a major, huge, abnormal, out of this world kind of test. That's an Akedah kind of test, a once in a lifetime, shakes the foundation of the earth kind of challenge. Whatever that may be in someone's life, we are confronted with some people are confronted with some of those challenges. Or we could be confronted like Avram in the beginning of the parsha, this constant state of testing and motivating and lach lecha and always be moving and challenging. You know, my cousin Menachem, when he spoke to my students last week, he said to them, the word halacha, which is Jewish law, comes from the word lech, to go. That the more that I go and I push myself and I'm motivated, right? I'm walking with God. So the Medrash is asking, which Lech Lecha is more precious in the eyes of God? Is it better, says the Nesiv HaShalom, to be tested over and over, right? Lech Lecha L'Eretz HaMoria, and then another test, and then another test, and then another test. Or is it like to be tested with one really, really big test? Right? Like in maybe when you were in school or in college, some teachers gave you a cumulative final on everything. Those are the worst. I don't know why anybody would ever do that. It's not fair. No one was paying attention at the beginning of the year anyway. Or some teachers give you tests along the way. This is what the answer is, we don't know. We're tested in both ways. We're tested in both ways. So this is what this Medrash is explaining. As we go through our lives, we change over the course. Every time we have a challenge, a test, and we pass it, or we are confronted with it, we change. Avram, every challenge he has, he becomes a new Avram Avinu, a better version. The iPhone version 13.2, 14.2, it's a better version of what he was. There's an unbelievable book by a Dr. Santorelli. Dr. Santorelli is the director of a stress reduction clinic. He has a book called Heal Thyself. It's called Lessons on Mindfulness in Medicine. And what he does is he uses stories of his work with his patients to convey different teachings in life. So whatever, it's got modern psychology, it's got some Buddhist wisdom, some mindfulness. And he tells a story in the conversation with a patient. You know, he says, can you say something about what it means to get your, by taking your life back? He asked this patient. So the patient says to him, I want to be the way that I was before all of this happened. I want to get back to who I used to be. So Dr. Santorelli told her something profound. He says, do you think you could ever go back to who you were? She says, I'm not sure that's possible, and I'm not sure you would want to, even if you could. I don't mean, he says, you can't get better or grow, but you've changed. You've gone through something that's altered you, and that you've become a new person. You place a memory of how you were over what you are becoming, you might close out all sorts of possibilities. Meaning the Medrash is sharing with us that when we go through not just a challenge in terms of something in emunah or an illness, We went through a Yom HaNarayim season. It was an amazing Yom HaNarayim season. I was changed afterwards. I felt closer to the Ribono Shel Olam. If I say I want to go back to what I was used to be, I'm closing out possibilities to who I can become. I've become something, you know, I remember we used this medrash when Rabbi Yaakov Danishevsky and I worked in the Holocaust Museum a number of years ago. So we worked with the Holocaust Museum to create an exhibit called Objects of Survival, in which mostly on the Holocaust, but of other, you know, from other genocides, but different objects that people had saved. And we were running a curriculum for the Holocaust Museum about that schools could use when they come for the exhibit. And we shared this medrash because objects like people have changed. What might look like to you, a necklace, a book, a picture, has different significance because of what it's been through. We go through different stages of our lives. Now, there is a whole world of what's called, you know, narrative psychology, in which we tell about ourselves, you know, the stories we tell about ourselves. And one of the ways that we structure the ways that we tell stories about ourselves is that in the beginning, we're like the actors. And then we become, you know, we're old enough, we become the agents, and eventually we're the authors, right? So Avram is telling us that we're the authors of our lives. And as we go through every stage, Yom HaNarayim season, a tragedy, something in Israel, something in my community, something in my family, whatever that is, I've become somebody new. How do I layer that into my growth as a person? How do I layer that into who I want to be rather than who I used to be? Now, I think it's an unfortunate part of where we stand in the world of COVID today. So I think in the beginning, we had so much good that was coming out of how we changed and what we were doing that we actually were saying to ourselves, yeah, this something new has happened. Something has changed. I don't want to just go back to who I used to be. Maybe not. We're not there. We're not where we used to be. But that's how we're supposed to look at it, look at our lives. And this really is what it means to have constant lech lecha. When we look at the first word in this, the first words in this week's parasha, it reminds us of a number of things. Number one, it reminds us about the journey that Jews take. There is a great delay between what we are given by God and when we actually get it. And that's emunah. Emunah is, I can live with uncertainty. I can live with Hashem telling me I'm going to have a children and I'm going to have a land. And I'm going to have all of these things. And it doesn't happen right away. And in fact, the Torah shows us that it doesn't happen right away. That's number one. The lech lecha of the fact that God is talking to us all the time. But am I open enough to listen? You know, can I make sure that I don't get caught up in my busyness, that I can't hear God talking to me? And when it means lech lecha, it's like the story of Rabbi Yochanan and Ilfa. We can't be so busy that we don't hear God talking to us. And he's talking to us all the time. All the time, he's sending out signals that we're supposed to be listening to and tapping into. And it means lech lecha in the sense of, as I go through all of my little daily challenges, you know, this week, 3 days a week, I was tired. I didn't want to go to mincha. I didn't want to go to shul, and I made it. I grew through that experience. I pushed myself to do something, or I failed at something. I'm growing through that experience, through the growth and the failures. I grow through all of them. That's the lech lecha el eretz hamoriah, to take these lessons of emunah, lessons of living with emunah, living with uncertainty, of listening to the call of God, and ultimately going through life, not waiting to be ultimately tested like the Akedah, but to take all the little tests that I go through and realize, and this is the most important part. The most important part of all of this is that the Nesivos Shalom adds one final piece. Both the Akedah and our Parsha begin with Lech Lecha. Because the big test that I have and the constant test that I have remind us that I have to be moving forward. You find Lech Lecha three times with Avram. Lech Lecha before he comes to Israel, that's here. Lech Lecha before his bris milah, and Lech Lecha before the Akedah. We have to continue writing new chapters of our lives to live through these experiences and to always remind ourselves to be a Lech Lecha throughout our entire lives and relationship with Hashem. I wish everybody a